wanted to ask you some more questions today about how your marriage and your work in the Army were interrelated. And, well, one thing, how is your life different? How is your Army life different when you were married from what it was like when you were single?
Well, of course, it's quite different because when you're single, you don't have other home responsibilities. I mean, you don't have just yourself to look after, and so it's there's no comparison really, I don't think. And of course, when you have when you're married, you have a husband to look after, to cook for, and to plan your life with. And we had a wonderful year after we were married, before we were in Army work, which I've always appreciated very much because it meant so much to us to have that time together where we didn't have too many responsibilities and things that would keep us busy and keep us from being together. Mm-hmm. And he was working for the Standard Oil Company, so of course he was gone during the day, but we always had our evenings and weekends which we could be together. And it was a wonderful year for us, and well, we had a little more than a year while he was working there. And then he quit the Standard Oil and we moved to Portland from there. And that was from Bremerton, Washington. And then, of course, he worked in Portland for a short time. And then we were re-accepted as officers in the Army and were sent to assist at Tacoma, Washington. So we were there for a short period. But during the year that we had, a little over a year, it was a wonderful experience because we could really have a life together. Whereas after you become occupied with Army duties, why it naturally takes you away from other things that you might enjoy being not having that responsibility. But we had a wonderful life together, all of our married life. And spent as much time together as we could. As I mentioned before, when you'd come home from lunch at noon, during our time we had, we would sit and talk and sometimes play checkers while he relaxed. And so every time, and then often in the evening after our duties were over, and we would take a ride, go out for a ride together. Just to have that time enjoying each other. So we had a wonderful life together, regardless of all the responsibilities we had in Army life. So it is a great deal of difference, of course, from being a single officer. I was stationed usually with another officer and a woman like myself, and we had good times together, but it wasn't the same, of course, as being married. And of course, when our children came, we were married several years before my daughter was born, about 4 years, I think, or almost that. And so we had a long time together before we had the responsibility of the children. And then it was almost 4 years between the two of them. So we only had the two children. So it was a wonderful life, really. And it was a real burden to me when he was gone and I had the responsibility alone with the children. But they were, Don was 13, I think, when his father passed away, and B was older. So it wasn't like being with two small children.
What would you say was hardest about raising your children alone?
Well, I think, especially a boy, I think they need a father. And trying to be father and mother both to children is really a difficult task. And then I, of course, had to carry on with my duties in, as an officer in the Salvation Army. So it wasn't easy by any means, because I had to be away a great deal of the time on doing work. But I felt I should be home with the children. But that was my job, and I had to make a living for my children. Mm-hmm. And I had to do my work. So it was a real task to raise in the home, but I felt that it was, I could just do the best I could, and that was all I could do. But Dawn was home with me longer than Bea, because she was married early, and then I just had the one. But he was always so very good to stay home with me, much more than I wanted him to sometimes, because I thought he should be out enjoying young people. But he was very good to stick around and be with me. So I always appreciated that, but I felt it was more than he should do, mm-hmm. because he should be out enjoying friends. But it was a difficult task, of course, to. But I felt that God had been helping me through the difficult times, and mm-hmm. so I always appreciated having that help too.
How would you say, in what ways are a father's responsibilities different from the mother's responsibilities?
In the family, you mean? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I, as you know, the mother is always with the children more than the father. But I always liked to feel that, made my children feel like the father was the head of the family. Mm-hmm. And his responsibility was the spiritual side of the family as well as material providing for the family. He was also responsible that they had spiritual training as well. And that, of course, is the mother's responsibility too. But I think it's very important that the father is, the children feel that the father is the head of the family, and his responsibility is not only to provide for the family, but to the spiritual part of their training as well. And that is very important, I think, in the mm-hmm. family.
I'd like to go back a minute. When you were single and you lived with another woman officer, where did you live? What type of housing?
Well, we always had an apartment, or sometimes the Army provides quarters for their officers. Now, like my son and family, they have a very lovely house here where they live. And sometimes it's the Army owns the property, and or you rent an apartment to be together, you know. And I always found that every officer that I was stationed with, we had a very nice time together and enjoyed the friendship, and got along very well. But we just lived together, and each had our responsibilities, and so we got along fine.
How did you pay for the ranch and for your expenses?
Well, we would what we call the food cup. We'd each put in so much money for our food, and that way, when we bought whatever we wanted, and usually we'd figure out a meal so we would have something that both liked and enjoyed. I think that you have to do when you're living with somebody else, mm-hmm. because otherwise there would be confusion. And so that's what we did. We just put in so much a week for our food, and we planned our meals and bought what we wanted.
Well, was this your own money or money that the Army...
Well, that was from our salary, yes. Oh. We paid a salary. so much a week, and then we'd have, because it was a very small salary in those days. Well, it is still not too high, but those days it was small. Of course, food was much cheaper than it is now. But we each learned what we had to and felt that we needed, and so we get along very well.
Would you say single women officers in the Army are treated any differently? I mean, do you relate to them differently from how you, what kind of attitudes you'd have toward a married officer?
Well, I don't. You mean our headquarters of people that are responsible for them? I don't think so. I think that, of course, as I said before, women can have any responsibility as long as they're capable of holding that job. And I think as the years have gone by, they have given more opportunities to be in jobs of importance. So I don't think there's a great deal that they look on them any different. They're an officer, and that's just it.
Well, once you were married, did it seem like you spent most of your time with other married officers, or?
Yes, I think we did. We always enjoyed being with young people, with young officers, but I think it sort of works out that way. If your friends are other married people, too. That was one of the things that was hard for me when my husband was gone, was when I go into our groups where we had officers' councils, and where I'd been used to going out with our friends, the married couples. Well, I didn't feel like I belonged to either the single officers or the married ones, you know. I got to do that first. I'm having trouble with my eye. Oh, excuse me. I did feel like I didn't belong either to the single or the married couple.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of got over that afterwards and would get more acquainted with the younger officers that weren't married. And so now, of course, it doesn't bother me anymore, but it did at first, the first time I went to the officers' council after my husband was gone. I didn't know what to do with myself, but I naturally had to get over that as the time went on. And then, of course, now there's a lot of other women in the same position I am. Their husbands are gone, too, and so it's been easier for me to adjust myself to being with CAS now than it was at first.
What were these officers' councils for?
Well, they pick up all kinds of things in our work, you know, like dealing with the problems that might come up and all that sort of thing. They don't, it's all together dealing with our work. And so we'd always went to them.
How often did they meet?
Well, they didn't used to meet as often as they do now, but I think now they meet once or twice a year. I don't know, because I haven't gone to many since I've been retired, you know, unless they include all the retired officers, which is a problem, because there's so many retired officers down here in California that it would mean they'd have to secure a large place, you know, to have all of them. So we don't do it. Only when they have, now like when the general was here for special, something like that, well then they include all of the officers. But otherwise, it's too much of a problem for meeting. So I don't attend much anymore. But they do have them more often than they did when I was in active service.
I'm interested in when, during your time in the Army, if an officer below you in rank disagreed seriously with an order you gave them, how would you handle disputes with an officer of a lower rank? If an officer came and told you they just could not agree with what you told them to do?
Well, I don't know. I never had that experience. No. But I suppose you just have to sit down and deal with the situation. I'm sure I have never had that experience, so I don't know. And I guess maybe it does happen. I've never heard of it any, but I suppose it could happen where there would be a difference of opinion and they wouldn't be willing to do what they were told. But I've never had that experience. I really couldn't say just how I would deal with it unless I would simply have to sit down and talk over it and tell them. Have, see if it could be ironed out without any real difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been told to do something that you just could not go along with?
No, I haven't. You know, when I was a young officer, I did a lot of things, and I find it difficult to do now, I think. But not again dealing with my the officers ahead of me, I never had any problem. But I suppose if the time had come when I felt I shouldn't do it, I possibly would have spoke up.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't ever have that experience. So I don't know. I was very fortunate in all of my experience before I was married and having officers with me that we always got along very well. We had no problems. And I know there are times when people have this personality clashes, I guess. But I was fortunate. I never had that.
Mm-hmm.
And any officers that assisted me, I got along with. The only problem I ever had was when I was stationed in Roswell, New Mexico, I had a woman that was almost as old as my mother assisted me, and I was still a lieutenant then.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a lieutenant too, but she was older and the problem I had with her was not with me, but with dealing with other people, with her and dealings with the young people. And I was constantly trying to straighten out something that would happen between her and the young people.
Oh.
So that was the only problem I ever had with an assistant of any kind. But she just didn't understand the young people, and it was difficult for her to deal with them. And so I used to have a little problem about that, but other than that, I've never had any. As far as getting along with her, I got along with her myself, but problem was with her dealings with other young people. So that's the only problem I ever had, getting along with anybody. But I know there are times when there's personality clashes and it's hard for people to get along together.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fortunate, I guess, in that.
Did you ever face opposition from churches or other Christian groups as a woman minister who thought women should not
be ministers? I think by the time that I came in the Army, of course, it still may have been some, I don't know, but I never had that experience. But I know in the beginning of the Army, they had a lot of opposition from churches about women preachers, but I just never went up against it, I guess. And I used to attend the ministerial meetings, where the ministers meet together. So,
mm-hmm.
And I never had any trouble meeting. But I suppose that years before they had a lot of trouble. I was just reading an article in a magazine that officers get about Catherine Booth, the founder's wife,
mm-hmm.
where she had written a letter to congregational minister, and she had been in his service and heard him preach on the Sunday, and he had all made reference to women as not being equal with men, you know. Mm-hmm. So she wrote quite a letter to him, and I thought, well, that's just her, because she was the one that started the army out on the women taking the lead and being able to do things in the church. So she was very bold in her telling him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't mention whether she had had a... Well, I think it mentioned that he didn't answer the letter. But he'd written to the founder, I think. He said that he would have to think over that before he answered. So I don't know if he ever did answer or not, but she was the one who really started, even the founder in the beginning, because he was a Methodist minister when he started, broke away and started on his own. And he was a little bit on that order too, that he didn't think women should. But when his wife started out to the way she did, well, he had to agree with her because she was doing so much good and winning souls for the Lord and all of that he just had to fall in line and agree with her. So ever after that, of course, the army has always used women for whatever position they wanted to put them in.
How does the army interpret the passages in the Bible where Paul says that women should be silent in
the
church?
Well, I don't know how, I wouldn't know how to express that as far as them. But that was more or less, I think, the individual who was writing that. Because there were women who did things in those days, too. There was prophetess and women who took part in different things. So we've always felt that God wanted women to do work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just should be so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the churches are today feeling more like that too.
You retired in, what year did you retire?
57.
And what, how did your life change once you
retired?
Well,
it really didn't, because I continued on working.
Oh.
The regulation was that women retire at 60. That was what it was then, at 57. So the commissioner who was responsible for the Western Territory then asked me to continue on with the point that I was. That's when I was stationed at Pinehurst Emergency Lodge in San Francisco. So I naturally wanted to stay on and work. And it didn't change for me, really, for years afterwards, because I continued on working. And then I worked when I was a farewell from there. I went to in the office of the Women's Social Secretary in San Francisco. And I worked there for almost 5 years. And then I was in the Correctional Service Secretary's office for, well, from 62 to 68. So I never felt like I had retired at all. Because I was working full-time for that 5 years, and then I worked part-time in the Correctional Services, because I was 65, and I took my retirement then. This before, I just worked on the same as I had been before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take my Social Security or the retirement. But when I was 65, I did take the Social Security and retirement, the Army's retirement. And then I worked up until 68 in that office. My responsibility there was we have in the institutions Bible courses. for the men, you know. So I was correcting Bible lessons for these men who were incarcerated and imprisoned and so I worked at that until my eyes got so bad. I suppose I would have worked longer than still if I, I hadn't. My eyes got so bad I couldn't see to read all that. Sometimes they were written in pencil, and sometimes it was hard to read them. So I worked there until 68. And I got the same then, and I had to quit. But up until that time, I just didn't feel like I was retired. So after I did quit working, why, I don't know, it just seemed like the time went by so fast, I really didn't notice it very much. But I guess I was getting older then and really needed the rest, so. But it didn't bother me. I didn't have all those years idle, of course. That would have been difficult back then. So I've tried to find something to do that, you know, keep me going. And so it's been really too difficult. But I think that a lot of people look on retirement as an awful task, you know, and they're busy all their lives. But I didn't have all those years that I wasn't working, so I wasn't there.
Would you say many people in the Army don't actually retire at the age they're supposed to?
Well, they've been... Late in the last few years, they've been giving them an opportunity to work on for a certain period of time, and now I think their regulation is a lot of officers have been working after they retired, and but I think now when they get to be 70, I think they're asking them to retire, and why I don't know, unless it's because they feel they should take their retirement, you know, with Social Security and so on. But I really don't know. But I know there's a lot of them that do work on actors. And sometimes they give them an extension for years of service when they're working too, like that. Although I didn't get any myself, but I just worked on anyway. But I did have 49 when I retired, officially, years of service then. And of course, it's been 60 years since I became an officer, so it's been a long time.
Yeah. When you were working as in the women's social services,
well, that work I was. Doing mostly just doing letters, you know, typing and that sort of thing. And then I was in our women's hospital in Oakland for a short period of time. And well, I guess I was there maybe over a year or 2 years. Anyway, there I had responsibilities in the office to interviewing. I think I told you about that though before. So I did have some experience in the women's social. But it's a different kind of work, of course, than the core work, dealing with pregnant girls. But it's interesting work. But I enjoyed that, and I was in the office. I did interviewing and care of the cases and that sort of thing.
Of all the different types of work you've done, what have you enjoyed the most?
Well, it's hard to say, really. I've enjoyed my work all everywhere I've been. I enjoyed my work in the welfare in Oregon. And of course, I was there for so many years in that work, and I just don't know. Of course, I enjoy the church program, but then I wasn't in that very long after my husband passed away, so I have a bad throat and I had to give up that, so I too much tried to sing and speak all the time, you know. So I enjoyed that more than anything, I think, but I enjoyed all my part anywhere I was. I didn't find it too difficult.
What would you say was the hardest work you did?
Well, I think possibly the welfare program I had. There were times when we had difficult cases to deal with, and some unpleasant ones too. Mm-hmm. I remember having one family come in one time that was so dirty. Mm-hmm. I could smell them before they even came up near the office. And then there was a side door to the building, came up into where my office was. And when they came in my room, my office, I thought I could never stand it. You can't imagine anything quite like it was. I never had before in my life. They were so dirty that they just was, the odor was so terrible. And I got them out, I took care of them, got them out as quick as I could. But, and you have things like that, which is difficult sometimes. And I think that was really the hardest work I did. Of course, it was a big job, and I had a big responsibility there. So it, I think, was really the hardest job I had. But I enjoyed it, even at that. But mm-hmm. there were times when it was rather difficult. And of course, I had the camp programs, which were interesting, so that offset some of the other problems that would come up. But I enjoyed, you know, my work everywhere, though, even though sometimes it was hard.
What would you say was the happiest period in your life?
In the happiest period? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that was, I think, before my husband passed away. And we had several appointments together. I think it was my happiest time. But I had enjoyed my life down through the years. I found I've enjoyed every place I've been. But of course, my happiest time was when he was living.
If you had your life to do over again, would you do anything differently?
Well, I suppose there are things that I'm wiser now and would know more how to do things different. Mm-hmm. I think it's true of everything. And if you had your life to live over, you see things that you could do much different. And I thought about that many times, and I thought about these trips that I've taken, like when I went overseas with the band. I think about things that, oh, if I had it to do over again, I'd do so different and get more out of it than I did then, possibly. So I think it would be the same in all of our work. We see things where we might make some changes, but we can't do that, so
yeah.
It has to be as it was. But I've enjoyed my life very much down to the years in Army work. If I had to do it again, I'd do it again. Would you like to stop for some coffee?
Okay.